This podcast is a Happening in the Hills production.
Hello, welcome to What's Happening, where we connect you to the best of Litchfield County, Connecticut and Northern Dutchess County, New York. I'm your host, Mary Beth Lawler. I'm so excited to chat with creative powerhouse and my friend, Danny Shapiro, a best-selling author with 11 books, 2 Oprah interviews, 1 podcast, and many talents to her name. She and her husband, Michael Marin, have called Litchfield County home for many years. We're excited to chat about what's happening with Danny and see Litchfield County through her eyes. Danny, thank you for joining us.
Mary Beth, it's great to be with you.
So Danny, you are, of course, an accomplished writer. Your novel, Signal Fires, was named Best Book of 2022 by Time Magazine, Washington Post, and more. And your 2019 memoir, Inheritance, was a New York Times bestseller and evolved into a podcast. I'd love to learn more about that transition for you.
So when I was writing Inheritance, it was because I had discovered a family secret of my own. And what I discovered as I was writing it, but maybe even really before I was writing it, is that I was someone to whom people would often tell their secrets. I sort of always have been, never totally understood why, but it was like I had a neon sign over my head that said, like, confess.
I'm safe. Yeah.
Well, that's a nicer way of thinking of it. Yeah. And when I finished writing the manuscript of Inheritance, I gave it to a dear friend of mine to read, the Buddhist mindfulness teacher, Sylvia Borstein. And Sylvia is in her 80s. She lives in the Bay Area. We were on the phone talking about the book, and it prompted her to tell me a story of a family secret of hers. And she's this fantastic storyteller. And I was just on the other end of the phone, completely riveted by her storytelling and by this, the secret that she was sharing with me. And I thought, I wish that more people could hear this. And it literally was the very first spark was, I wish more people could hear this. And then I thought, I wonder if there's a podcast about family secrets.
And, oh, wow.
And there, and this was in 2019 or 2018. There wasn't. And I had started listening to podcasts because I drive around a lot here in Litchfield yes. County, and I walk, and it just became a really interesting form of storytelling for me as someone who is a storyteller, in what I do in all of its different forms. And that's what gave birth to it. I then went to my publisher, Penguin Random House. I said, I have this idea for a podcast. They really loved it. And they connected me with a great podcasting company who also really loved it. And actually, this is a good Litchfield County story because I told them the origin story with Sylvia. And the very first, it wasn't called Spring Hills Arts Gathering then. I think there was another name for it. The first year, the very beginnings of SHAG or Spring Hills Arts Gathering was in its very first stages. And they had asked me if I wanted to do an event and curate an event. And I had invited Sylvia. And Sylvia, instead of staying, at the Mayflower, which she could have done, stayed with me in my guest room. And so she was my house guest. And what the podcasting company said is, why don't you, we'll send a sound engineer. Why don't you do an interview with Sylvia, and that will be your first episode. What I didn't realize is that actually it really was kind of a tryout. I'm glad I didn't know that because I would have been more nervous than I was. But we went down into my basement and we recorded this amazing conversation. And after that, when everybody heard it, everybody got very excited, and that became the beginning of the first season of Family Secrets.
Oh, well, that's amazing. I had no idea. So what have been some of the biggest challenges and surprises going from the page to the headphones?
Well, first of all, just the storytelling itself, the format, I wanted it to be highly produced in the sense that I wanted it to feel almost like an old-fashioned radio play. I wanted it to not feel in any, I was more aware of what I didn't want than what I did at first. I didn't want it to feel prurient or like, confessional or like rubbernecking, somebody else's difficult story. I didn't want it to be salacious. I was coming at it from a place of having discovered my own really massive family secret. And I wanted to be really respectful of my guests and have it be a conversation about that. And then I wanted to try to create a way of, I guess the way I think of it is holding the story or being the container for the story and supplying my own voiceover that would, my own script really, that would allow me to sort of pop in and maybe make an observation or a comment that would shape the storytelling.
Yeah. I love when you do that. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we're now in our eighth season and
amazing.
One of the things I've noticed about myself in the evolution of the podcast from the first season to the eighth season is I do that less. I guess what I do is I don't insert myself as much.
Right.
I insert my thoughts about my guest's story. But in the first season, I was still so fresh off of my own family secret that I think there were moments where I would add things like, you know, essentially like me too. And then that, you know, I inserted myself more, and I have done that less and less with each passing season.
So that being said, are there any especially illuminating or emotional moments that you could share with us that, you know, something that surprised you that happened in any of your episodes?
I feel like I've had surprises in just about every episode, but I think what has been powerful for me is the realization that family secrets share so many characteristics. I mean, the way that if a secret is kept from us, what we feel, even without knowing that this sense of my guest saying things like, almost to the word, things like something just wasn't right. Things didn't add up. There was some sense of otherness or outsiderness that I always felt, and I didn't know why. Just the idea of needing to puzzle together something that has been true of so many episodes and so many people. So that's one big takeaway. And another one is that when a secret has been withheld and then discovered, I will always ask my guest, it doesn't always end up in the episode, but I'll always ask, do you wish you hadn't found out? And no one has said yes. No one has said, I wish I didn't know. This is really too hard. To a person, every single one of my guests has felt in some way or another freed by finally knowing what this thing was that they felt haunted by.
Wow. So if you think of the stories as a sample collection of data points, I'm curious to know what correlations or themes have revealed themselves about traits within humanity, about secrets at large.
That's such a great question. One theme that has been a drumbeat throughout all of the seasons is that I think that there's some human desire to think that if you shove a secret under the rug, it can actually stay there. And as a guest of mine this season, Carmen Rita Wong, what she said that I loved so much is, if you bury a secret, you bury it alive.
Wow.
I found that really powerful. And I mean, there are many people over history who have spoken really eloquently about secrets. Carl Jung describes them as psychic poison. You know, the whole idea societally, culturally, psychologically, historically, that what we don't know can't hurt us is just simply not true.
Right.
It's what we don't know that is precisely the thing that most often, really, does something very toxic to us. And so when we discover it, it's a very powerful thing. The other thing is that when we discover what we discover is as important as what we discover. So, like for example, in my own story of finding out that my dad had not been my biological father, I found that out in my 50s. I felt very betrayed by my parents. I felt very much like, how could you have kept this from me? They were people of their time. And during their time, it very much was the feeling that what we don't know can't hurt us. Mm-hmm. But I later had this realization that if I had somehow found that out when I was 16 or 25, I think it would have destroyed me. Mm-hmm. If I had found it out right after my father died, it would have been like two deaths. And so I'm very, very thankful that I found out when I found out, because I had the fortitude to handle it, to process it. I had the stability in my life to really think about all of it and to write a book about it, you know, after having written 10 other books. So,
right. Amazing.
And I've seen that thematically with a lot of my guests, the when becomes very important.
I mean, it's also what's, I also find amazing about your podcast is, I don't think you planned on this, but I'm sure it's a very healing experience for those who take part in it. Would you say?
I would. And that's been, kind of this beautiful surprise. I've had guests, even ones who have been interviewed many times before. I mean, I remember a couple of seasons ago, when I interviewed Katie Couric as a guest, and, you know, on the one hand, I was on my side of the conversation, just thinking, oh my God, I am interviewing Katie Couric, the queen of interviewing.
Right.
And, you know, certainly she had this huge bestseller and she'd been talking a lot about her story, but I'm always aiming for somebody putting something together or learning something new or having a revelation, which happened in that episode and has happened in a lot of episodes, really. And it's, to me, that is, that's me doing my job. You know, not just getting someone to narrate the story the way that they've narrated it 100 times before, but actually getting them to maybe think about some aspect of it that they hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's wonderful that you get to be that conduit, helping them to share those stories. And you do such a good job of it. How do you find the people? I mean, you must get so many. How do you narrow it down? How does that happen?
It's actually the narrowing it down that is challenging.
I bet.
We don't go looking. The stories come pouring in, or I'll read an article in or a book review or an essay or something online or even something on Twitter, and I'll think, and we'll just put it into a folder, and then my story editor and I, at a certain point when we're ready to look at a next season, have an abundance of choices in terms of figuring out, and then how to balance the season, how to balance it in terms of diversity, gender, story, right. You know, just we really always want to have this range of stories and different kinds of storytelling.
Wow. Amazing. I love listening to your podcast. I think it's incredible. Highly recommend that everyone take time to listen to Family Secrets. You can find that on every outlet, Danny, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wherever you get your podcast, if you start typing in family, it'll come right up.
That's incredible. All right. So I want to bring this back to your life in Litchfield County a little bit right now. You've lived in both New York City and Bethlehem, Connecticut. We'd love to learn more about your connection to the Litchfield Hills. So as we know, many artists find their way to Litchfield County in upstate New York. Do you find that being in the country affects your creative process? And if so, how is it different from when you're writing elsewhere?
Oh, I do. I you know, when we first moved, my husband's also a writer and a filmmaker, and we moved to Bethlehem a little over 20 years ago with our very small little boy, who's now 24. And we moved from Brooklyn, actually. We lived in Manhattan, then we moved to Brooklyn, and then we moved here. And the thing about living in Brooklyn at that time is, you know, I'd walk out my door and life would be happening. You'd walk into a stream of life as it was already happening. And, you know, the place was lousy with writers. If I took my dog out for a walk, I'd run into like 50 friends. And there were things that were lovely about that and things that were more challenging. And to me, the pace of, and the the noise, which I mean on, you know, in every way of urban life, the choices every day of where to go and what to do and the overstimulation of it, I guess I would say, had actually started to not be great for me, not great for my nervous system, not great for my creative process. Okay. And I remember very early on when we moved into our house, which is up on a hill and surrounded by a fair amount of land. And I remember opening my door and thinking, nothing is going to happen unless I make it happen. I'm not going to run into anybody who's going to change the course of my day today. I'm not going to wander into a shop. I'm not going to, you know, take a walk and run into 10 friends. I have to actually build my life. And that sense of purposefulness was very revelatory to me, where I really thought, now I get to figure out how, I mean, what a privilege, like, you know, to figure out how I want to shape my life. I know how long it will take to get from point A to point B. It will take exactly 14 right. and a half minutes to drive right. my son to school. It will take exactly 10 minutes to get from my house to Washington Depot. My husband and I used to have this running joke where he would get frustrated if we got stuck behind a school bus or, you know, a hay truck or whatever. Right. And my code for him was
a tractor,
God forbid. Yeah. And my code for him was Brooklyn Bridge. That's all I would say. It's like, let's just like really have this in perspective.
It could be so much worse. Yes.
It could take 3 hours to get where we're going, or it could take 10. And so the hours in the day expanded, and the quiet and the groundedness was extremely good for my creative process. And it's funny because when we moved here, I had finished a novel called Family History, not to be confused with Family Secrets.
Okay.
And I had written it while we were still living in Brooklyn. And I was in edits on it when we moved. And Family History is based on a couple who lives in a small town. And the husband's parents are realtors. And there is a prep school nearby. And when we moved here, and then in 2003, Family History came out, people assumed that I must have written that novel once we already lived here.
Right. It sounds very, yeah.
Oh yeah. People thought it was
crazy.
They thought it was about them, you know, they decided which realtors it was about, all that kind of stuff. And it was something that I had, you know, dreamt up, that I had, you know, created out of my imagination. Although I did
almost
regularly
manifested through that book.
Yeah.
Right?
I had when I started writing that novel, I had absolutely no idea that we were going to leave the city and move up here.
Okay. Well, you know what, as you're talking, I'm remembering, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, full disclosure, I know Danny in the area, we're friends. Danny, when I moved up here from the city, I don't know if I ever told you this. What was that? Maybe 15 years ago, to Litchfield County. Before we had bought a weekend place, so I was weekending, and then we were making the decision whether or not we're going to come up full time or not. And I remember I read an article that you had written in like the LCT. Remember that magazine that the Litchfield County Times had? I don't know if it was a local thing that you had written, and it was a little one page thing about living in the country. Do you remember that?
I don't. It's so interesting.
You know what? You know how I remember it? Because when I was moving out of that house, because then I had it, I read it and I was like, that's it. This is it. This is what I need. This is what we need. We're doing it. And I did not know you at all. I had no idea. I just read this piece. And the reason I then found out that you had written it was because I'd saved it and I'd left it in my little office and I'd had it up on a bulletin board that was just there all the time. And I saw it when I was leaving. And at that point, you know, years later, I found it when I was moving out of that house. And I was like, oh my God, Danny wrote this.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
And here we are now talking on podcast about Litchfield County.
I wonder if they excerpted, there's an anthology called Goodbye to All That, that I wrote a piece for. And maybe.
I
don't know. I
have to try to find it. I'm sure I have it somewhere.
I
can't imagine I threw it away. Oh my God, I've got to find it now. Anyway. Okay. Let's get back on track here. are there any local places that inspire you or clear your head in, you know, in our region?
Oh, yeah. A walk in White Memorial on the boardwalk is way up there. Also, the Bee Brook, the whole Bee Brook walk, and the Thoreau Bridge there.
Awesome. Okay, so we always like to ask our guests about their favorite things in the area. I'm going to throw a few rapid fire questions at you. So just tell me the first things that come to mind. Okay. Your favorite place for coffee?
Arethusa Amano.
Arethusa over in Bantam.
Yes.
Favorite place for a scoop of ice cream?
I don't really do that.
Ah, you don't do ice cream?
It was probably Arethusa, right. Like that's where I would take Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those lovely long lines.
But I think when I used to take Jacob, it was before the long lines. Now it's long lines.
Yes. Okay. This might be hard. Favorite restaurant?
Community Table.
Okay. Community Table is in Washington. Very good. Definitely check it out if you haven't. Your favorite local business? Well, take it away from food.
I would say Plain Goods. I just love, I love the aesthetic, and you know, it's just a place to kind of wander in, even if I'm not buying anything. It just feels
right.
Like the level of taste and sophistication is so
absolutely
amazing.
It is a shopping experience. For those of you who don't know, it's in New Preston. The owners renovated an old building there and just made it into this beautiful shopping experience.
Yeah, it's like if Barney's were in New Preston, that's what it would look like.
Right. All right. Okay. So Danny, are there any upcoming events or projects you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I'm working on the television pilot for Signal Fires, my most recent novel. Although I'm not working on it right now because the writers are all on strike and God knows when that's going to get resolved. But that's just looking forward to starting a new book. I'm still touring for Signal Fires. Mostly internationally. And then the paperback comes out in October here.
That's incredible. Okay, wait a minute. We go back to the TV. Have you had any other books made into TV?
No, I've had books in development, but I've never had one in development as a TV series. And I've never had the opportunity to write the pilot for it. So that's really,
oh my gosh,
really
wow.
And I actually think that the podcast is a large part of what gave me the courage to say yes when they invited me to write it, because I thought, well, I didn't know how to create a podcast. And I really didn't. And there's something so wonderful at this stage in my writing life to just be able to try new adventures and different kinds of storytelling. So that's pretty thrilling.
Oh, that's really exciting. So happy for you. Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Danny. Really appreciate it.
Love talking to you, Mary Beth.
Next up, our producer and editor, Laura Hartle, will fill you in on our picks for things to do in Litchfield and Northern Dutchess counties.
Thanks, Mary Beth. There are so many exciting events coming up. In Dutchess, the Bard Music Festival returns for its 33rd season with a two-week exploration of the life and work of Ralph Vaughan Williams, one of the 20th century's preeminent symphonists. The festival takes place at the Fisher Center at Bard in Annandale-on-Hudson, New York, and features 11 themed concert programs which delve into the breadth of his work and set it within the context of his politics and the culture of the time period. Weekend 1 runs Friday, August 4th to Saturday, August 6th. And Weekend 2 runs Thursday, August 10th to Sunday, August 13th. Visit fishercenter.bard.edu for more information. On Saturday, August 12th, Innisfree Garden in Millbrook, New York opens its gates at 4 a.m. for stargazers to catch an hour of the Perseids meteor shower at its peak. This unforgettable experience culminates in a sunrise sound bath as onlookers watch the sun bring the beautiful landscape to life. Tickets are available at innisfreegarden.org/events. And of course, mark your calendars for the Dutchess County Fair in Rhinebeck, New York from Tuesday, August 22nd to Sunday, August 27th. Enjoy 5 days jam-packed with music, food, rides, shows, and more. Fairgoers are encouraged to buy tickets online at www.dutchessfair.com. You'll find more great things to do in Northern Dutchess County at millbrookmagazine.com/events. Over in Litchfield County, check out the Goshen Open Farm Tour in Goshen, Connecticut on Saturday, August 5th and Sunday, August 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Experience the bounty of the county on this tour, which highlights the unique and diverse farms that call Goshen home. 15 different farms, to be exact. Visit goshenagriculture.com for more information. On Saturday, August 5th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., get ready to move at the Mayflower Inn in Washington, Connecticut. This exclusive in-person event with the Sculpt Society combines powerful toning exercises with dance cardio for a fun and effective workout. Following your class, recover with garden-fresh juices and explore the Well Spa Boutique. Go to aubergeresorts.mayflower.com for tickets. And finally, if you're looking for a beautiful summer gala in support of the environment, you won't want to miss the Midsummer Party for Conservation on Saturday, August 12th at 7 p.m. The event takes place at the gorgeous Maywood Estate in Bridgewater, Connecticut, and raises critical support for the Northwest Connecticut Land Conservancy. Purchase tickets at ctland.org. You'll find more great things to do in Litchfield County at litchfieldmagazine.com/events.
Thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to bring you more exciting places and faces of Litchfield and Northern Dutchess counties. Do you have feedback, topics you'd like covered, or a lead on a great interview? We want to hear from you. DM us on Instagram at whatshappening_podcast and find us at whatshappeningwithmarybeth.com. I'd like to thank our producer and editor, Laura Hartle, and production assistant, Zandria Oliver. This is What's Happening with me, Mary Beth Lawler. See you next time.